Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I know that some in our audience know the finer points of hockey.
The Chris Johnston Show.
We are your friends.
The biggest stories, bringing you inside the game.
What did you hear?
The Chris Johnston Show.
What is going on?
Here's Chris with your host, Julian McKenzie.
Part of the game.
Big Money Siege. We got to do some pulse checks around the league. But I got to admit to you something, man. I am under the weather. I know you've been under the weather for the last little while. I think I'm finally feeling what you've been feeling. So this is our flu game. If I sound a little run down, if I sound congested, I'm sorry.
You got to fake it till you make it. You just got to tell yourself, I'm fine. I mean, look, if you're really sick, don't get me wrong. I want you to look after yourself. But power through, brother. Power through.
Okay, so like...
we can do this. Let's get through it together. You, me, producer Nick, and the 100%ers, we're going to get through this together.
CJ, I need you to stick your pinky out, okay? Your pinky out at me, okay? All right. We're not in the same room, but we're going to pinky swear that we're going to get through this, okay?
Done.
Okay, so we got it. Cool.
Bring your good energy, pal. You got this.
I know you do, too. I want to start with the Calgary Flames, not just because I cover them, but something interesting happened at practice on Friday. They practiced at the Islanders practice facility. They had a random e-bug on the ice. Jacob Markstrom, Dan Vladar not there. Jacob Markstrom just needs some time for himself. Dan Vladar is on injured reserve. But all of a sudden, people just started freaking out. Like, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a trade? Oh my God. They already had Elias Lindholm move a few days ago. What else is going to happen? What about Jacob Markstrom? He may or may not be open to moving his NMC. Noah Hanifin meeting with his family in Boston, trying to figure out what the hell to do. Like, there's a lot going on with this team. And they found a way to beat Boston earlier this week and New Jersey. There's a lot of noise around this Calgary Flames team. When does it end for these guys?
The offseason? I mean, I guess March 9th is probably the better answer. Because obviously once you get to the happy side of the trade deadline, it's going to be clear what the team is and where they're left at. But, you know, this is what it looks like when your team is going through what the Flames are. And you know, we've had this pegged since, I think, the beginning of the season when they entered the year with all those UFAs. You know, it was pretty evident they weren't going to probably extend like seven guys in season. So it was always setting up as though, you know, not necessarily that they were all going to be traded, but that there was going to be multiple players of significance on this roster moved. And now you're living it, right? Yeah, now you've said goodbye to Zadorov in December. You've said goodbye to Lindholm over the All-Star break. And, you know, I suspect here with a little less than a month until the deadline, it's going to be that kind of month where you're going to be taking attendance at every practice or, you know, watching the warmups extra close before a game to see if anyone's being held out of a game. Because this is, I mean, it's what makes this time of year fun. I recognize in your specific circumstances, it's probably stressful for Flames fans and, you know, because there's a lot going on. But, I mean, this is where we're literally like, is there anyone weird being scratched from a game? Is there a trade going down kind of scenario? Because that tends to be what happens the closer we get to the deadline. I mean, there's still a little bit of runway left, but it's getting short, my friend. And so this is what you're dealing with. And I saw I love that Calgary, in calling up Dustin Wolf, put in the X announcement.
I was about to ask you about that, because in that same announcement, they mentioned that like Dan Vladar is on injured reserve. Apparently, according to Ryan Huska, it was because of something he tweeted in warm-up ahead of their game against New Jersey. Like, a tweet like that, where obviously you're excited about Dustin Wolf, but then you have to mention that like your actual backup goaltender is kind of hurt. That's a very interesting tweet to put up. Not looking deep into anything with that. Just, you know, I get people are excited about Dustin Wolf, but you still got to put your goalie on IR with whatever is ailing it.
Exactly. I mean, look at this is, again, this is the world we live in. This is where we're at. And so, sorry, I'm just responding to a text here, which I don't like to do during the show, but we're recording.
Do you have news?
No, not in this moment, but we're recording during the day. Often we're a morning record show, and so I'm still kind of in my work day and some stuff's going on. But yeah, I mean, look at the Flames. I mean, I saw Markstrom had some interesting quotes to Eric Francis of Sportsnet, you know, basically just saying it's that even though he has a no movement clause, that it's in the team's hands what happens in terms of if they want to move on from him. I know teams have at least called. I don't think it's got to a point where anything's necessarily going to happen. I mean, we've got a new trade board coming out at the Athletic on Monday, and Markstrom does have a place on the board. He's not right up at the top by any stretch, but it's always a possibility. You know, I think the Hanifin situation is coming to a head. And obviously, Chris Tanev remains. I think there's like 10 or 11, 12 teams that have called on him at some point in time. You know, we talked a few weeks ago, but some of them are the non-obvious teams, like Ottawa, for example, that isn't in a playoff race, but would like the idea of trying to deal for him and extend him right away rather than let him become a free agent in the summertime. So yeah, there's a lot of balls in the air, and there really aren't, if you look at it, there's not a lot of other teams currently selling. Like, obviously there are other teams lower than the Flames in the standings, like Anaheim, Montreal, you know, San Jose, Chicago, but those teams by and large don't have, and they look, they have some players that are going to be moved, some players that are on the trade board, but those teams don't have a lot of high quality players to move at this point in time. Whereas, you know, Calgary still has difference makers or players that I think teams view as potential difference makers on their roster that they're willing to trade. You know, another team will be interesting is Philadelphia, which have just hung around the playoff race enough to, I think, at least plant a conversation in the front office. But clearly the Flyers have been of a selling mindset throughout this year. They've listened on a lot of guys. I think they've been open to various, you know, ideas, whether it's the Nick Sealers, the Sean Walkers, the Scott Laughtons, Rasmus Ristolainen, Morgan Frost. You know, I think they've had a lot of trade conversations during the season. They're in a weird spot. They don't want to finish ninth, right? Like, I think ideally you want to make the playoffs, but you know, I think that there's naturally some concern that you don't sell off some pieces you can sell off, and then you end up missing the playoffs by a point on the last day of the season and what was truly gained. Which, just to get back to Calgary, I think the reason there's so much focus on the Flames is that they are a team that has already started selling, that has other, you know, useful players to sell. And there's not a lot of that in the league. And I think the one thing that can save this trade deadline, and I know we're less than a month out now, I'm thinking it needs saving. Like, I'm really worried about where this deadline's heading, in terms of buzz and excitement and action. One thing that could save it is a team or two that we're not necessarily expecting to sell, deciding to become sellers and putting some names out there that currently aren't on the trade board. And so, you know, Calgary's carried the bulk of the load through this season, just from a rumor standpoint, from actual moves. But at some point, let's hope a few other teams join them in the sellers department, or else, you know, it'd be weird. Like, look at, like, the NBA trade deadline's happening right now, right? For a season that essentially runs roughly the same course. I mean, it's kind of unusual how late hockey's deadline is. I think ideally you hope that makes it so that teams at that point can make firm decisions, you know, because if the deadline passed today, just for argument's sake, like, it would be hard to, how many teams out there would be not sure which course, like, they wouldn't know if they were buyers or sellers, right? And so I'm just hoping it's going to be a busy month, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that it's not so busy that you're, like, drowning in work. But I also think that, like, you sort of like it in a way because people get amped up about it. But, yeah, I think we're still going to see some action, some speculation. There's one more Flames question I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Chris Tanev? And how do you feel about the attention that's being poured onto him? You had mentioned, like, up to 12 teams could be interested. We've heard teams like Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver being thrown in around him. And it's at a point now where, like, whenever I watch games or practices, I'll see him go down with something. And it's like, whoa, like, is he going to get injured? There's, like, this weird injury label that's followed him. I know I wrote about it for The Athletic, but I'm curious about your opinion of it.
Well, look, it's the way he plays, right? It's not, the label has been earned. It's been earned the hard way by blocking pucks and putting his body on the line for, you know, a long time in this league, you know, dating back to his days with the Canucks and then right through his tenure with Calgary. It's why so many teams like him. Teams look at what they need for the playoffs. They need someone willing to sacrifice. I mean, as much as, you know, we all want to glorify, you know, players chasing crazy point marks like McKinnon and Kucherov, or goal marks like Matthews, or, I mean, what tends to win in the playoffs, obviously you need to score some goals, but it's usually, you know, plays at the other end of the ice, defensive plays, sacrificing your body, you know, doing the extra little bit to, you know, make a difference in a game. And that's sort of what Tanev is. He's an interesting name to have at the top of all these trade boards because, you know, he's certainly not a player, I would say, with high profile. I mean, he's played in two Canadian markets, so obviously people know his name and familiar with, you know, how great a story is even just to make the NHL. Is, you know, he's got a brother in the league, all those types of things. But, you know, he's not a, it's not a glitzy kind of player, not a glitzy kind of name, but he, far, I think he's it, exactly what a lot of teams feel like they need, honestly. And so, yeah, you should be thinking that, like, if he goes down in a game, it's because he is likely to put himself in a position where he can get injured. And of course he's been through his share of injuries in the past. So, you know, I think he should wear that label. I mean, no one wants to be thought of as, you know, being brittle or being, you know, that they can't stay in the lineup all the time, but he's earned that the hard way. He's earned that by being courageous and by, you know, sort of a we before me kind of guy, putting the team's, you know, goals and objectives ahead of maybe some of his own. I think that's, I mean, that's a lot of stuff that gets celebrated in the sport. And I do think that there's, you know, there's something to be said for it. And when you look at the kind of teams that win and go on long playoff runs. So, you know, I think the Flames, it's clear they want to try to get a first round pick for him. Obviously no one's willing to pay that right now, or I think the trade would have been done over the All-Star break when they did the Lindholm deal, or you know, could be done in short order if someone was willing to offer that up. And so it's kind of a game of chicken. You've got all these teams monitoring a situation that are interested in a situation. The Flames, you know, have made it known that, you know, I think that they'll probably end up taking a second round pick and maybe something else for him ultimately, but who knows? You know, it's all it probably takes is one phone call with a first round pick and that deal's done.
If you are Craig Conroy and you have Chris Tanev in your lineup and he plays the way that we know that he plays, do you rest him at all to protect your asset?
Maybe in the last week or something before the deadline, if he isn't moved by then. Like I that's usually the way this goes. Like you can't be sitting the guy out now. I mean, maybe you sit him out of a game this weekend, for example, if you're so close to a trade, but it's not done. And so it's just a matter of, you know, protecting the asset while you finish off the final details of it. Transaction. But if you've got nothing like really close to the finish line, I think you just got to let him be who he is. I mean, all teams are kind of weighing this, right? I mean, that was an aspect of the Montreal trade with Sean Monahan to Winnipeg. I mean, in that deal, Kent Hughes really wanted a first round pick. He ultimately got it for Monahan. And, you know, I think part of the Canadiens' thinking was, you know, this is a player that has been injured. Unfortunately, he dealt with serious injury last year, right? He didn't play after December last season. And he's been so good this year and he's been healthy, but you just never know. And so, you know, obviously last year was a year that the Canadiens were, you know, in December were thinking they'd be trading Sean Monahan at the deadline. He was injured and was unable to be moved. And so I do think that there's, I don't know if you call that a lesson, but it's something that's in the back of every GM's mind. Right. And I'm sure we'll get to this, but you know, Julien Brisebois is watching his Tampa Bay Lightning play at Madison Square Garden this week. And he sees, it was $8.5 million defenseman Mikhail Sergachev go down. Like that changes in an instant, you know, what you might be doing at the deadline. It's the same on the buying side and the selling side of these transactions. Like that's the crazy thing. As much as we try to plan and predict where everyone's going to be on March 8th or March 7th, like these sort of things crop up. And I do think that's why in some ways, what I like about what Craig Conroy's managed to do is he's, you know, he's made a couple good trades, I think, for a team in his situation. But he's got these deals done early, and so it removes the possibility of injury because, you know, that can be devastating in a sense. If you're not, you know, getting a first round pick or getting nothing, is that that's a wide vacuum, right? And so, you know, and it's not that I'm hoping that Chris Tanev gets injured or you know, let's hope for his sake he's in a position where he is healthy. He gets a chance to join a top quality team and chase a Stanley Cup. I mean, that's ultimately what players, especially at his stage of a career, want to do. You know, but there's risk. There's risk in every game every player plays, unfortunately. And we don't always like to think about it. Some guys, Phil Kessel plays, whatever, 1,000-plus games in a row without missing one. And then some players, unfortunately, you know, a puck hits them that they don't see coming or whatever. I mean, there's a bit of a crapshoot in our sport. It's just part of what it is.
Before I go to Tampa Bay, any thoughts on Noah Hanifin and his big decision?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me reading, like, it's funny, the winds have shifted on this so many times.
Yeah.
And so it's been a hard one to get kind of your mind around. It's not as though, you know, times that, you know, right at the start of the year, it appeared he was going to sign an 8-year extension in Calgary. Then, you know, those talks were halted when the team went through a really bad stretch. You know, then it got back to like where they were, you know, having more discussions. Now, if I'm handicapping it, I think it's more than likely he's traded. And, you know, ultimately he and his agents have to make that decision, his family, obviously, too. And, you know, it'll give Craig Conroy here, if that's the way it goes, you know, four plus weeks to see what he can get for him on the marketplace. And, you know, that's really my thought. I think that they've really looked at it from both angles. You know, I can see why the Flames love the player, but you just look at the age he's at. And if you're going through this, do you really want to make another long-term commitment to take someone into their mid-30s or even a touch beyond that? I mean, if you're Noah Hanifin, and he loves living in Calgary, this isn't a lifestyle question. It's more, do you want to sign on for a long-term with a team that maybe isn't going to be in a competitive window with a chance to win a championship in your best years? And so it just feels like their needs don't align. It's sort of how I feel about Jake Gensel in Pittsburgh, to be honest, Julian. He's obviously been such a good fit, was a big part of their most recent two Stanley Cups, has scored a pile of goals. He's been Sidney Crosby's line mate, but he's 30. And the Penguins, clearly, whatever window they have left is not going to be most of whatever years he would be signing a 6 or 7 or 8 year extension. So it's kind of an awkward one where, you know, it's not a foregone 100% conclusion that he'll be traded by the deadline, but it makes a lot of sense for a team in Pittsburgh's shoes. I think it makes a lot of sense for where Calgary's at to move Hanifin at this deadline. And so, you know, no decision that I'm aware of has been made 100%, but that's kind of my sense of where things are headed.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you with that. I feel as if, considering all the pressure and all the attention on this story and hearing about how he's obviously thinking about this and meeting with his family about it, I feel as if I could be wrong on this. And look, you could put freezing cold takes or whatever, but like, I feel like if he wanted to stay, he would have said yes. At the very least, I feel like he might still be thinking about it, or he might be saying no, but I feel like if he wanted to say yes at this point, like, this would be done by
now.
There's
financial benefits to stay. Remember, like, the Flames can sign him to an 8-year deal. And it's always possible he gets traded to a team at the deadline who gives him an 8-year deal. But more than likely, if you get, that's the other thing, like, which you don't think about on the, you know, the fan side of this, or even some reporters, but he's likely kind of committing to moving twice by not signing an extension with Calgary now. He's likely to get traded by the deadline, and most players that go through that end up then signing somewhere else on July 1st. Not always. You know, Josh Manson, a recent one I can think of, was traded from Anaheim to Colorado, wins the cup that year, signs an extension, so he didn't have to move twice. But more often than not, you're in Patrick Kane's shoes, right? Chicago, Rangers, then you're signing in Detroit afterwards. I mean, and so that's, you know, that can be a lot at the age that Noah's at. I don't know his family situation in terms of his personal life, but the point is it's you got to weigh all that out, I think, when you're making the call that he's about to make.
Craig Conroy still has a ton of decisions to think about when it comes to the Calgary Flames. Let's get to Mikhail Sergachev in Tampa. You did mention him earlier, brutal injury for him, had surgery on Thursday to stabilize his fibula and tibia. And that Instagram post, we'll get to Tampa and what might be next for them. But just seeing that Instagram post and seeing him be emotional, that was really tough to read, honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was tough to read. You're right. And he was playing his first game in 7 weeks that night. He hadn't played since December 19th. You know, gets 10 minutes or so of ice time into that game, 10 minutes into his return, and falls awkwardly after, you know, taking reverse hit from Alexis Lafreniere. And, you know, I don't know the exact timeline here, that the Lightning didn't disclose one, but clearly when he's having surgery the next day and they're immediately putting him in rehab, I think that there's a chance to save his season, maybe if they're into the playoffs or what have you. But, you know, that's a lot to digest if you're in Sergachev's shoes, you know, given that he's just, you know, worked his way all the way back to playing again. I don't know if you saw his previous post before that one, Julian, but he's like, we're back. You know, it's like a picture of him. And naturally, he's excited after a long injury layoff, as any player would be. So it's been crushing. It's just been a tough year for Sergachev, you know, really from top to bottom. If you look at his numbers, it's not necessarily what you'd expect. You know, even when he was healthy, there was a time there he was taken off the top power play unit and Victor Hedman had regained that spot. You know, his plus minus, which I know is not always the best stat to gauge a player's season, but he's at minus 16 for 30 odd games. I think it tells the story where he's, I just think this year has been a struggle for him. And, obviously he wants to be a number one type of guy. He's at that age. He's, he's kind of been groomed the right way. He's got the big contract and, he's plays the second most minutes on the Lightning in terms of a per game basis. And now he's facing an uphill climb back. And so, it's been a patch it together kind of year on the Lightning blue line. Darren Radish, who actually really opened my eyes last year covering that Lightning Leaf series, was a player, quite frankly, I didn't know a lot about. And he was playing monster minutes in that series and played very well, I thought, for Tampa. He's essentially been up on the right side there with Hedman on the top pairing with when Sergachev's been out. They've rotated a whole bunch of players that you'd need a Hockey DB account open to know who they are playing on their bottom pairing. And I say that with respect to them, of course, but it's been by committee. So shifting to what Tampa is going to do, it was my understanding they were already calling around on defensemen before the Sergachev injury, just to gauge the market, see what upgrades might be out there for them. The real key item here will be by March 8th. I think Julian Brisebois is going to know, is there a world Sergachev's back during the regular season? Because if he's not, he's basically got $8.5 million now of LTIR space to play with when it comes to making additions. The Lightning have traded away a lot of picks in recent years. All the way back to Blake Coleman, Barkley Goodrow, Nick Paul, Brandon Hagel. Last year was Tanner Janot. Through the course of those transactions at the deadlines in the last 4 years, they've traded away a boatload of picks, so that they're not left with as many as you would have to necessarily say that they're going to go out there big game hunting. But, I think Julian Brisebois, honestly, for my money, is the best GM in the league. You probably have a debate about maybe Kelly McCrimmon in Vegas. Vegas made a ton of smart moves on the way to winning their cup and having the success they've had too. But, I would just say never sleep on Julian Brisebois, especially now that it looks like a scenario is there where he potentially has all that cap space. I mean, that was his biggest challenge. He found a way to fit all those other guys in that I mentioned in environments where he didn't really have a ton of cap space to play with. There's a world here if Sergachev's out for 10 more weeks, essentially through the end of the regular season, that Tampa could be in on basically anybody.
In terms of anybody, is it somebody that has to sort of fit that style of play that Sergachev has? Is it a stopgap? Who could they be looking for if it gets to that point where they feel they need somebody?
Well, look at history, right? I mean, Goodrow and Coleman both ended up having one more year on the deals at the time the deals were made, and that ended up being a home run trade because they formed two-thirds of a pretty dynamic third line, and they won cups in both of those seasons. Hagel and Paul were both traded for, in Hagel's case, was a restricted free agent, so that Tampa knew they had his rights, but signed to long-term contracts. Tanner Janot, similar, they're acquiring a player there that isn't what we would call a rental. So I think based on past behavior, I'm going to look for Tampa to make not an obvious move, because that's kind of the way Julian has always operated, in the Lightning front office. And so it's hard to connect him to anyone credibly or for me to say today it's this guy they're going to go trade for. But I would be looking for the non-obvious moves, for something that maybe solves a future problem and a current problem. And the biggest thing in Tampa they have to be mindful of, well, it's two things. This is the last year you got Steven Stamkos under contract, right? I mean, we've talked about that story a lot. But you don't know for sure what the future holds there. Like, I think this is a year, even though they're in a wild card spot as we're recording this, you want to kind of go in, I think, one more time. I would guess if you're in the front office, you just don't know. Every year it's going to get harder and harder, I think, for them to keep it together. The core players are getting a little older. You might lose more. Like, look at what they've already lost, right? I mean, I saw Tyler Johnson actually posted a photo on his Instagram page over the All-Star break. Like, he's on a vacation with Stamkos and Hedman, but also Ryan McDonough, Pat Maroon, Andre Palat, like all those former Lightning guys. Obviously they all won together once upon a time. Those players are all playing elsewhere, and there's the possibility you're going to have that with Stamkos. And so, I think that there's going to be the inclination to want to go in on it this year and really give the team the best chance to have another championship run. But also he's got to make a trade that suits, that sets them up well, cap wise down the road. And so, look for some undervalued players. I think that's kind of been what he's done. Like, Hagel with respect to Brandon Hagel, wasn't a huge name, but he, you know, gave up two first rounders for him in that trade with Chicago. And it's because he prized, you know, how cost effective he was, that he filled a specific need for this team. And so, you know, that's where I'm looking. I would expect them to tinker around the edges. And I just, the Lightning, no matter what Julian ever says in front of the microphone, like, this year we're not going to be big deadline players. They're always big deadline players. Shrewd,
yep,
operator, smart, really smart guy. And now, again, I'm sorry that Mikhail Sergachev had to get injured for it to happen, but all of a sudden now they might have a ton of money to play with. I think it kind of opens up a whole new set of options that until that game at Madison Square Garden this week that he wouldn't have had.
Was Nikita Kucherov part of that list of current and former Tampa players vacationing? Just wondering if there was like a triplets line reunion.
No, I didn't. Well, I can't say he wasn't there, but he wasn't in the photo. So that would be a good one. I missed the triplets line.
Yeah, that was... It's funny to think, like, Nikita Kucherov at one point was just like a third of like a really cool line for Tampa, and now he's like a top 10 player in the league. Like, you could argue he should be top 5. He could win the Hart Trophy this year.
For a second time.
Like, and John Cooper has said that, like, he's playing, at least when I had asked him the question, like, he's playing at a level, like, higher than when he won it, like, how many years ago? What a guy.
Right. Well, and get this. I covered a playoff series. It was the Canadiens Lightning series in 2014 where he was a healthy scratch, Kucherov. So, I mean, not many players go from ever being a healthy scratch to winning a Hart Trophy. Like, he's already traveled kind of the road less traveled, I would call it. And he's got got another shot at the Hart this year. I probably have MacKinnon there right now.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, we haven't done this game, but I haven't looked at it closely. Like, I'm not committing to it, but my gut right now tells me it's MacKinnon's to lose at this stage of the season.
Save your award ballot for when it comes time. We'll trade notes.
When we're in garbage time in March, you mean? Like when we're trying to figure out I'm just kidding. That's harsh, but that's what they call in basketball, right? The non-meaningful period.
You joke about that, but there's truth in every joke. Let's get to Arizona. The Coyotes. Seems like a lot of people are waiting on pins and needles for some kind of announcement when it comes to their future. The Coyotes social media account on Twitter is doing everything it can to assure fans that the future is in Arizona and that they're going to stay there, that they're going to be successful. But some are wondering if it really is going to be the end, if they're not going to be able to acquire some plots of land or a plot of land for them to stay long term. Are they going to Utah? Can someone else buy them? Where should we start with this story with the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, the situation is simple to sum up. I mean, if you're waiting for an announcement, I hope you got some patience, because unless a whole bunch of people are lying to me, I have no reason to believe anything is imminent one way or another when it comes to an announcement. You know, but there is a serious issue that is with time is taking on a little more urgency, is that they need to know what they're doing, right? And ideally, from the NHL standpoint, that would mean Alex Morello or Javier Gutierrez, as president, is coming out and saying, we've purchased this X plot of land. You know, we're going to build this rink. Construction starts next week. It's going to be open in 2026 or whatever, you know, the timeline would be. If you had those kind of plans in place, I mean, everything would quiet down pretty quickly. I think, you know, the players and everyone would just make peace with the fact they're at Mullet Arena for X number of more years, because at least there's a brighter day on the other side of it. You know, what we have instead is that announcement is not in a place to be made. The Coyotes ownership is in a land auction right now for a piece of land in North Phoenix. Would like to get it, but they don't know if they're going to get it. And if they don't get it and they don't have other backup plans, I mean, what's, you know, clearly the clock is ticking there. You know, from what I've been able to gather this week on calls and what have you, is that Utah is just still waiting back. I don't think there's anything new from their end of things. You know, they're working with the legislature on trying to get a new arena built. That's part of a plan to pitch for the Olympics in 2034. But, you know, in terms of them being ready, Ryan Smith has already indicated through his actions, through his announcements, that Salt Lake City is welcome to have a team at any given point. I don't think the league's ready to do just about anything just yet. And so, yes, there's lots of machinations behind the scenes. I get why there's a lot of conversation and speculation, but I don't have any reason to think that there's an immediate resolution coming.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming one way or the other.
This episode of The Chris Johnston Show is brought to you by Liquid IV. Staying up late, hanging out with friends, yelling at the game on TV, you do a lot over a big weekend. So when it's time to start another big week, celebrate Hydration Monday with Liquid IV. I was in Toronto a couple of days ago for the big show that CJ and I had, and I needed to hydrate. Really, I needed to hydrate. And I'm so glad I had those Liquid IV packets with me. You get yourself one little packet, 16 ounces of water. You open up the packet, you pour it out, you stir it up, and you get some delicious flavors. I have the white peach, which is pretty good. The lemon lime is also pretty good. The green grape, I thought that wasn't going to be as good as the other two flavors. That's actually my favorite one. And I feel great when I take it. I feel hydrated. A lot of people like to take these before their daily workouts as well. So that way they can keep themselves from feeling run down. There's no artificial sweeteners. It has three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 vitamins and nutrients, and non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. It's pretty good. Weekends are for going wild. Or hey, maybe you're a guy who likes to get down in the week too. That's fine. Have a game plan for your Mondays or your Tuesdays, any day of the week with Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Johnston at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Superior Hydration today using promo code Johnston at liquidiv.com.
What about the possibility of a Phoenix Suns owner, Matt Ishibia, buying the team?
Look, I don't personally know what his intentions are here, Julian, in terms of, you know, whether he wants to buy the Coyotes or not. It would make some sense if there was a world where all that could align, because the Suns, his basketball team, from what I understand, need a new arena as well. And so why not house them in the same space like so many other NBA and NHL teams do around North America? But, you know, perhaps that's a saving grace here, a potential saving grace. You know, it seems to me, though, Alex Morello still wants to own the Coyotes. So, you know, the team can't just take it from a, you can't just force a sale, or at least not under, without extreme circumstances being in place for that to happen. And so, you know, I think that everyone still kind of has to play nicely together in the sandbox. Is that an appropriate term? I just mean, I think
that could work.
Like, I don't think that everything isn't going smoothly. That's clear. Ideally, the NHL, even when they okayed the move to Mullet Arena, wanted this to be resolved, wanted there to be a plan. Obviously, they went right down to a vote in Tempe on a piece of property that and a plan to build an entertainment district and arena that got voted down last year. And so, you know, there's a world where they're either going to have to move the team or maybe try to find another owner that is willing to keep it in Arizona. Maybe they take it back to Glendale. I don't think that's happening with Alex Morello, but perhaps another ownership group with a clean track record might be able to talk to the city officials there and come up with some kind of deal while an arena is built. You know, I don't know how it's going to play out just yet. I suspect you're going to keep hearing about this because there's more urgency here. And I would point you to the fact that the Winnipeg Jets moved north from Atlanta on May 31st officially. That's when the announcement was made back in 2011. I think that you're on a similar time frame here. By the time that next season's schedule is officially being finalized by the NHL, they're going to need to have some more clarity on what the direction is in Arizona. And I don't think another season of like, well, maybe we're looking for some land and we'll just keep playing in a 5,000 seat arena is going to cut it. So, you know, the way I view this, it seems to me that we've got 2 or 3 more months for plans to either come together or not. And at that point, the NHL is going to have to act in some way.
What about the possibility of, I don't know, returning to Glendale?
I mean, I think anything's possible. That's the best place that team could be right now. I mean, look, there's problems with the where that arena is located. It's hard for fans to get to. I mean, anyone who's ever been out there, the traffic can be brutal in suburban Phoenix. And it's not the most convenient for where their fan base is located. But it is an NHL caliber arena. Like, no question. There's nothing wrong with the arena itself other than where it's built. It just didn't service the team long term. But, you know, it's 18, 19,000 capacity. It has the facilities you need from a dressing room and corporate standpoint. And so who knows? Stranger things have happened, I would say. I don't think that'll be the case. I'd be surprised if that was the case with Alex Morello, because it was the situation, the relationship was completely strained by the time the team moved to ASU, to Mullet Arena. But, you know, maybe under new ownership, if that ever happens in the future, that's a shorter term solution while a rink gets built. They just got to build an arena in the right place and have the proper infrastructure there, Julian. And to me, they're every bit as attractive as a place to play as Tampa or Nashville, Vegas, you know, some of these warm weather destinations that players in the NHL love to play in with great fan bases. I think that's still possible. And I got to tell you, even if they end up relocating the Coyotes, which is clearly not the NHL's preference, but if that happens, we're immediately going to be talking about Arizona being in line for an expansion team. So
you think they go back?
Oh, one, I'm telling you, if they leave by relocation this season, say, Arizona will be at the top of the list for an expansion franchise. They're just going to need, obviously, an owner that can get an arena built. Like, that's, I mean, I say that's all they're missing. I mean, some of these arenas,
that's
cost
a pretty big miss.
$2 billion. Like, it's, you know, they're usually tied to much larger real estate plays or other things that have to come together. But Arizona would be a top place in the NHL's eyes for expansion if they ever had to move the Coyotes. So that's the reason they haven't moved it, because I understand the power, the potential power of the market. They've just never tapped into it to the degree they need to make the Coyotes successful.
But Houston exists. Kevin Weeks every few days is mentioning something to do with Atlanta. Like, there are Utah. We're just talking about Ryan Smith. Like, there are other markets out there that the NHL could tap into that are in the United States that could use that chance, as opposed to Arizona getting another chance again if it gets to that hypothetical situation.
Yeah, but if you're bringing it to an expansion to an owner who's got an arena coming, I mean, then it's a totally different thing. I think it's the sixth largest metro market in the U.S. or something like that. I mean, it's
a big deal. The market, for sure. It's just
the market isn't the problem. It's they've never had the team in the right facility in the right place. That's been the issue more than anything, in my view, in terms of just getting a foothold there, in terms of, you know, really turning a lot. Like, I know there's Coyotes fans, but like to getting the market energized around the team, it's like they've just never had any ability to kind of like climb. They need to get settled. They need good ownership, and they need to have an arena, which, you know, it's hard to align the stars and the moon. It's easy for us to say this in a podcast. It's hard to do it sometimes.
Yeah. Thank God we're not running the league.
Yes. Thank you. We can barely get our mics to work some days. So, I mean,
jeez, we try to worry about our, I mean, mics, internet
connections. I wouldn't want to be making $7 billion decisions, you know?
Goodness gracious. Ask CJ. We're going to bring it back on Monday. I know earlier this week we said we're going to get to questions this week. Just bit of a busy time. We're under the weather. We're taking it easy today. We'll just go back to our regularly scheduled segment on Monday. I don't have a stick tap either. Like, today's just been a bit of a mess, admittedly. But next week we'll be fine. Everything will be great. We'll get.
I've got a stick CJ. Tap. We'll get.
You do. You know what? Yeah, I didn't even ask you for that. If you have one, go ahead.
This story kind of went under the radar, but it's actually for Julien Brisebois. Nothing sure. to do with what he may or may not do at the trade deadline, but he and his family committed $500,000 donation to Ronald McDonald House in Tampa next 5 years. You know, his owner, Jeffrey Vinnick, is widely in NHL circles considered one of the best, most generous owners in the league, if not the best. And obviously he's following in his direction. And so that news came out over All-Star weekend, and I think it kind of got buried a little bit, but I thought that it's important to spotlight Julien for his generosity, and he just doesn't have to do that, man. So
that's really cool. Good for Julien. Good for the Lightning organization. That's an amazing gesture on their part.
You don't have to come up with one. I had one for both of us.
But I do have a cross check, if that's okay.
Well, you're in kind of a feisty, sick mood, so have at it.
Like, did you see this story earlier this week about how the NHL had to do this audit over the amount of hits that were being doled out, and they had to switch up everything with in terms of hit totals? Like, I've never heard anything like this before. Like, what? Come on. Like, what's the issue here? Like, trouble.
So who are you cross-checking?
I guess the league in this situation, because they messed up. They messed up. They did. We're allowed to look. Look, I get it. There are times where we will go out of our way to say, hey, you know what? The league did a good job here, but we are more than allowed to say the league kind of messed up here. And I think they did. They absolutely did. What a weird thing to have happen. And I mean, they've ultimately updated it with certain players getting their totals fixed, but that was a really weird, thing to come up earlier this week. Michael Russo has written about it for The Athletic, and there is the obvious fantasy betting angle if you want to look into that within that regard. But I will give a cross check. I don't know if I've given another cross check this year, but I felt it was deserving of that. I thought we weren't going to have this segment. Turns out we end up having a cross check and a stick tap. Look at us.
There you go. You took the floor and brought anger.
I'll feel better next week, guys. send us questions for Ask CJ. Subscribe to the podcast. And we'll be back next week. CJ, I'm Julian. So long.
The Chris Johnston Show. Inside the game, twice a week. Follow Chris on Twitter, @ReporterChris. And follow Julian McKenzie, @JK McKenzie.